The Power 40 podcast is an uplifting, faith-based podcast that speaks to all that is going on in our world. Our goal is to share inspirational, real-life stories and experiences from notable guests around the country on matters that touch us all. The number 40 symbolizes a period of testing, trial, or probation. We all experience trying times in our lives, but it's what comes from these times that make us who we are. As we depict periods of people's lives, where the idea of the number 40 is played out, we will learn the goodness that comes from perseverance, determination, and belief. I'm your host, Danica Tramberg, joined today by a woman who knows her numbers with a career in accounting. She also is an entrepreneur and a fitness guru. We're so excited to welcome Sydney Simon to the podcast today. So welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's start with this. I think just tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to a career in accounting, finance, that type of role.
So since I was little, numbers have always been kind of just easy for me. In middle school and grade school, they placed me higher in math classes. So then I just kind of really liked it. And that's kind of what came easy to me. So when I went to college, you know, you're kind of posed with the question of, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? It's kind of a scary question. So I bounced back and forth between a few different majors. And I'm like, well, I'm good at math, so I'll just kind of go with what I know. So that's how I chose finance. I didn't pick accounting because classes in college are totally different than when you get into an actual job. So when I first started here at Capco, it was like totally different. I'm like, well, I thought it was just debits and credits and balancing checkbooks and things like that. So
I vividly remember doing those balance sheets, and I am not a math brain, so that was tough.
Well, and a lot of people were like, you'd be really good at accounting. I'm like, not from what I learned in college. I'm like, that doesn't sound fun at all. But then when I started applying to jobs, all of the entry-level finance positions were like, oh, you need 3 to 5 years experience, or you're going to be a financial advisor and start at a really low pay rate. I'm like, yeah, that's not really for me. So I kind of just fell into accounting, and it ended up working out really well for me, I think. Kazmierik Enterprises has offered a lot of different things for me to go into because there's so many different companies. And on top of that, I work with so many great people that pose as mentors for myself. So it's just been a learning process, and I've really appreciated it on the way.
That is really interesting. When you were like, what are some of the differences? I'm just kind of curious in general, like what are some of the differences between school accounting and like things that you're doing in the real life setting? Because I do feel like I'm in marketing, I feel like there's a lot of things like that as well. Like you do learn some great things, but at the same time, when you get into that workplace environment, it can be like so vastly different. And it's good though. It's like a good thing. It's exciting. And you can learn so much on the job, I feel like. So what are some of those like differences you felt from school to career?
So in school, I mean, it's all about getting the A, and like the first accounting classes I had were just focusing on what the different accounts were. And now that I'm in my career, it's like, it's less of like finding where the numbers go, but it's like problem solving almost. Sure. So it's a lot of math, but it's also knowing how the numbers work together. Mm-hmm. And like we spend such a small amount of time on the four different kinds of financial statements in school. Yeah. Like they just briefly went over them. I'm like, well, that's like what a company is totally based around. And Right. Go through the whole month end process and bank reconciliation and making sure that everything is clean to present these numbers to upper management. And it's like, it's way more problem solving than it is actual math. And I think that's what I like the most about it. Because I've always just been like a hands-on person, and it's a lot more like you plug things into an Excel spreadsheet or a formula, and then you present that information. And a lot of the classes at school were like just trying to get the formulas right. So it's a lot more than the stuff that you were presented with in school.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so interesting when people can share their experiences
of that too, because think back to when you're in school and just kind of like naive and like don't know what jobs are out there or what your roles entail in certain positions. And so I think it's just so nice too when people can shed light on, you know, what more they do in certain roles. And it's interesting to me.
Oh yeah. And then, I mean, I was in college at the end of my senior year and I was just applying to any job that I was qualified for. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't really know what this is, but please hire me.
Yeah. I feel the total same way. Another thing too, that just kind of crossed my mind with accounting, it's so often you get like that stereotype of like dry analytical personality being in accounting. Like, can you're obviously not like that. So what do you think?
The exact opposite of what you expect.
Yeah. So like, what do you think of that stereotype on accounting in general?
I mean, I've met a few people who are like that, mm-hmm. but then once you get to know them, it's like, okay, well, you crack jokes left and right. Yeah. So, I mean, you just really have to get to know people, but mm-hmm. I definitely think that there's a stereotype there, but I'm like, well, I'm really artsy and I'm quirky and I'm definitely yeah. not quiet. So I think that's what a lot of people think.
Yeah. And speaking of artsy too, I know you have some like side projects and hobbies, and I think it's so important to maintain just like that overall satisfying life and like having your hands in different things, and it just makes you like a more well-rounded person. It keeps you, I don't know, just like, I feel like vibrant and passionate about things. So tell us more about some of your hobbies. I know you do some woodworking. What is that like?
So I kind of fell into woodworking also. I've always been really artsy. Before woodworking, I was really into painting, and I thought that I wanted to like push that into a side business. But then I came across something on Pinterest that I really liked, and I was like, oh, this is cool. So I clicked on it, and it was way more expensive than I thought it was going to. And I showed it to my boyfriend. He's like, I think I could probably show you how to make that. Like, we have power tools. I'm like, okay. So next thing we know, we're at Menards buying all the supplies, and like, it pretty much is just cutting angles and using, like, it was just learning how to use the power tools, mm-hmm. and which was cool for me because I'm very hands-on.
Yeah.
And I like putting things together and seeing mm-hmm. a final product come out of it. So this was a year ago, so last Christmas, mm-hmm. and then I posted the finished product on social media, and I had so many people be like, oh my God, that's so cool. Can you make me one? Yeah. Like, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I started the business. And then it just kind of blew up once I made an Instagram account, and so here cool. I am.
That's so cool. What's your favorite part about it?
I really like when the customer doesn't really have they have colors in mind, but they're like, I trust you. And mm-hmm. that's the best feeling for me, when they believe in your artistic ability to be able to present something. And then when they see the finished product, like, holy cow, it's way better than I could have ever imagined. And then
that's so cool.
when you get the pictures of the pieces in their home, that's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's mm-hmm. It's a very rewarding process.
Yeah, that is really cool. I love seeing two things from like start to finish, and like, I love hosting parties and I love like events and those types of things. And the thing I love about it is like people's reaction to it and seeing like how joyful they are in those times. So I feel like that's the same way. Like when you give them your piece that you complete, like they're so happy and like so excited to put it up in their home. And I don't know, that's a good
one. Well, I'm sure you feel like the joy that it brings you, and cause you like doing it. So mm-hmm. during the process, like, this is something that I love to do. And then mm-hmm. at the end of it, the customer is happy too. And they're like, wow, this is cool for both of us.
Yeah. When was it, or maybe it was like when you posted on social media that you kind of figured out like, hey, I could maybe make some money from this.
I think it was after I made pieces for two different friends. I had a close girlfriend of mine. She asked for a piece, and then she was like, well, I'll like market it and I'll post it on my social media and I'll hype you up. Okay. And that's kind of what I was like, and I just kept getting like more DMs from people as I kept posting it on social media. I'm like, well, maybe I should make a second Instagram account and maybe I should come up with a business name for this. And that was a whole process in itself. And it's just been fun doing it the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Do you get most of your business from social media, or do you go to fairs, or what does that look like for you?
Right now, a lot of it is just word of mouth. And that's how it was at the beginning. Like, it's only been a year and a few months. And I've had a few people where it was from social media, but a lot of it has been word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And I've really only done 2 shows. And then I have another show coming up in Cedarburg in this February.
Oh, fun.
But it's been cool because I don't have to spend all of the time preparing for shows, because they're a lot of work. And a lot of people do those like all summer.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that I have social media to fall back on.
Yeah, that's so true. And I suppose too, when you go to those, like having inventory too, like on hand.
Yes. Yes.
That's probably like a huge part of it. And that's gotta be time consuming.
It is, especially because I have a full-time job. So, okay, I work 7-4, go home, and then I'm working in the shop from 4:30 until 9 p.m.
Yeah.
It kind of wears you out for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And so I know there's another kind of part about you too, like you really enjoy fitness. So how does that, when do you have time for that?
Right now I go on my lunch break, which I really prefer because I can take a moment to step away from what I'm doing and then come back with a clear head. And not even just with work, but if something is bothering me, like, I just think it's good mentally for everyone. Even if you're just going to go for a walk or something, but I've been super into like powerlifting and stuff. So that's what I do. But it's a lot. I mean, just in your head being like, I want to be active. I want to do this. I want to be healthy. So it's just making the time for it, whether it's on your lunch break, before work, after work.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned powerlifting. Do you do any competitions, or have you tried any?
I don't.
No,
that's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I think I want to in the future, but it's a huge commitment. It's a big time commitment, and it's a lot of money. So I don't know. Right now I'm just doing it for fun. So we'll see if I change my mind in the future.
Yeah. I have some friends that do it, and, I'm just like, wow, I know a little bit about like just being very, I guess, motivated and disciplined with pageants and diet and exercise. And that was like a whole thing. Like I worked out like a ton and like, didn't, you know, like go out to eat or have wine at the end of the night or anything fun like
that.
I
know.
You have to eat like so strict. So it's like a big sacrifice, but I always look at it as it's like a season and like a moment in your life, and you can always do those things again. But yeah, I really admire anyone that does that because it's not easy at all.
No, my sweet tooth is too big at the moment. I would really have to give up.
I totally get that. So I love like you have these other hobbies outside of work. I think that's so important. What would you say, like, what does that mean to you? Like, does that give you a more fulfilling life? Do you feel like?
100%. I mean, it's very easy to come home after a full day at work and just like put a show on and sit on the couch for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into the woodworking, it's not just going to the shop and working on things. It's scrolling through like inspiration pictures and coming up with ideas and sketching stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something else that I can spend my time on mentally. But I also try to spend time like reading and like working out. And I mean, not right now because it's winter, but being outdoors, hiking, stuff like that. Because I noticed when I first started and I got a lot of custom orders that I was kind of burning myself out really fast. And I was coming home from work every single day and I was at the shop.
Doing
and Brandon's like, I never see you anymore. I'm like, okay. So now I'm trying to find a better balance, just if, cause then you live a happier life. You don't want to, especially if you love it. If you do it too much, it's easy to burn yourself out.
So true. Do you have any mentors or anyone you look up to in like any one of those roles, whether it's like fitness, career, entrepreneurs, like anyone that sticks out to you that you kind of admire or learn from?
With woodworking, that's the cool thing about Instagram is you fall into this platform where you're able to connect with people across the world, honestly. Like there's a couple different women. There's one in Texas, there's one in Montana. And like you comment on each other's stuff and they're always posting videos about easier ways to do things. And I do this with my saw and this is how I get this. And it's very cool. Cause I didn't know that that existed until I started doing this. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is like a whole other support system.
Mm-hmm. That is really cool. I love that about social media. There's so many good things about it that we don't always highlight. Obviously it has its cons, but there are so many wonderful things that you can have community across the country, which is one of the really cool parts about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, this is kind of like about Women's History Month. And I think it's so awesome just to highlight women in different industries and fields and everything that they're doing to achieve their goals and dreams. And I love how you just kind of mentioned like other women, especially in that industry that you dove into and what they're doing and how they're supportive. What advice would you give to some younger woman who's maybe not sure what they want to do, or they want to go into a career in finance, they don't know what to do, or maybe it's like they want to pursue some of those side passions that they're really talented in? Where do they start?
So someone told me this when I was in college, and it was get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm. And I really took that to heart because I realized that it's so easy to get stuck and just stay in one spot when you're comfortable. And then you're not pushing yourself. Mm. And I feel like success comes from when you're uncomfortable, because that means you're doing stuff that other people aren't doing.
Totally.
And then what I learned from myself, what comes along with that, is when you push yourself to be out of your comfort zone, then when you realize that when you did that, it was like you feel okay and you're actually doing better now, then you gain confidence from that.
So true.
Which is also important to success. Because if you're not confident in yourself, then how can someone else be confident in you? This day and age, it's really hard, I feel like, as a woman, to have that confidence.
Yeah, it's so true. There's so many things on a daily basis that kind of put you down, like as simple as your appearance, or you don't measure up to someone else, and comparison and all those things. But I love that phrase too. I use that in my life a lot. And believe it or not, I'm like actually very much introverted. And so I like during college and stuff and pageants, I pushed myself to be in like events and crowds of people. And that was so uncomfortable for me, like sparking conversation. I just more like to myself, which is how I am.
Especially when you're younger, it's like, just forcing yourself to go talk to people. And like when you're in college, they make you go to career fairs and like go so get an elevator pitch. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's so true. But I think your point too is when you're, you know, in those uncomfortable situations, it's such an opportunity for growth. And if you're not growing, you know, as the years go on, like, what are you doing? What are you really doing with your life? You need to continue to evolve and be better and learn things. And I think that's the beauty of life. And too many people miss out on that.
I agree. And then you can look back and be like, well, I'm proud of myself for doing that. You don't want to look back and be like, oh, I wish that I would have comfort zone and did that.
Totally. Well, as we close out today and just reflect on the power forward in our lives, maybe trials we're going through, things we've overcome, we understand that the good and bad will continue to experience. But 40 is also significant in regards to time. We focus kind of on like Jesus spending 40 days fasting in the wilderness, and 40 is all over the Bible. But if you had just 40 minutes to impact the world, where would you start and what would you say?
Oh my gosh. That's a big question.
It can be simple. It can be wild. It can be anywhere in between.
40 minutes anywhere?
Anywhere, anything, no limits.
I think because fitness is a huge part of my life, I would take 40 minutes. And if I could somehow find all the people who are like hesitant to start in the gym, I would bring them into the gym and I would show them all that I know and share all my knowledge, mm-hmm. because I'm a part of the wellness committee here too. And you hear from so many people who are so hesitant, especially at the time of the new year. Like,
yeah,
I'm nervous. Like I want to be healthier and I want to have a better life, but I just don't know what to do in the gym. And I'm like, I used to be that person. And now mm-hmm. I just walk right into the weight section and just get like, yeah. I just feel so bad. So yeah. I'm just sharing my knowledge with other people. And just, even if it's just to hold someone's hand, mm-hmm. I feel like that would be impactful.
That would be so impactful, especially with, you know, you look at such sedentary lives that people live, especially in this country. And so much of that too, it's like that, I feel like there's probably a term for it, but it's like that fear of like going to the gym because you don't know what to do when you get there.
Yes.
Like I have people in my family, like very close people in my family that totally have that. And I'm like, you guys can do it. But it would be so awesome if someone, like you said, like you could basically like walk beside them and be like, here, it's okay. Like mm-hmm. no one's judging you. No one's looking at you. They're just glad you're here. They're happy you're like doing something for yourself.
I mean, it can be intimidating. I've had a girlfriend and she's like, Sid, you got to show me how to do things. I don't know what I'm doing. And so she lives in Minnesota. So I was at home and I like sent her videos. I propped my phone up. I'm like, okay, here's the proper form. And then she's like, I went to the gym and I played that. And then mm-hmm. I just like mimicked what you were doing. Like, see, I feel like that's, I don't know. It's kind of rewarding. Like I could help you a little bit, even though I'm far away.
Yeah. That could be like your third business.
With all the time in the day.
Yeah. You know, like at night, you don't have to sleep or anything. Well, thank you so much just for joining me today, beyond the podcast. I loved hearing about your passion for what you do and just being a trailblazer for all like young women, you know, showing them that they can do so many things. They don't have to be stuck behind one career or in one pathway. And it was just really inspirational. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
It pushed me out of my comfort zone being my first podcast, and it was way more fun than
nothing
I
imagined. Nothing like 8 a.m. in the morning, just like get into a deep conversation.
No matter where you start your day.
Yeah. For more information on the Power 40 podcast, visit powerofhumans.com. Also stream the podcast on your preferred streaming service.